rather feel a dagger than endure silence. Unwinding my headscarf, I twisted it and used it to snap Mara's rump. She surged into a gallop, pulling the reins around Idan's hand and nearly dragging him off his prized black stallion. The troops behind us hooted and praised my resourcefulness. My captor wasn't amused. "Why not simply ask me to kill you?" His stallion now trotted beside Mara. Checking over my shoulder at the troops climbing the hill, I made sure I wouldn't be overheard. "Why haven't you and Azat told the others my real name?" His eyes remained fixed ahead, and I waited for an answer. What held his fascination? Following his gaze, I saw a sprawling, walled city with thousands upon thousands of soldiers creating a second wall around it. He turned to face me, fire in his eyes. "Welcome to Ribla," he said. "You are Tabati. You will meet King Nebuchadnezzar, and you will provide a safe journey back to Scythia for my men and me." The words felt like the dull end of a spear in my belly, each one a blow. Anger warred with despair, and all I could do was shake my head no. As a silent threat, he pointed to a valley in the distance, and I instantly covered my mouth to stifle a cry. Like ants on the roads we traveled days ago flowed an endless sea of soldiers and captives. At least, that's what I supposed them to be. Some on horseback, some stooped and stumbling. The sight was staggering. A countryside covered by humanity converging on Ribla to pay homage to the king of the world. My stomach rolled, and I lost my morning gruel over the side of my sedan. While I wiped my chin, he leaned over me but kept his voice low. "Still want me to tell everyone your name is Merari, the Hebrew?" Idan's smug grin sickened me. Glancing over my shoulder again at those coming after me, I looked down at my bandaged feet and clean hands, my new robe and headscarf. Fear silenced my conscience, and I settled back into the soft cushions, feeling filthier than a priestess after Ishtar's feast. I'd become rather accustomed to the Scythian's appearance by now, but the Ribla Valley's reaction to Idan's processional reminded me of their startling bearing. Soldiers by their campfires halted conversations to stop and stare at the muscular arms bulging from sleeveless leather tunics, belted at the waist. Tattoos told each man's life journey depicting families, battles, and faith. Intricate designs covered every visible piece of skin except their faces, which were unique among Nebuchadnezzar's minions. Lighter skin, almond-shaped eyes, and flattened noses and cheekbones even stopped sword drills while the Scythians passed. I noted other ethnic variations, and each nation camped beneath a different standard. The Edomites bore an eagle on their flag. The Syrians camped under the symbol of a hawk. The Arabs, a palm with two crossed swords. Azat galloped from his position at rearguard, carrying the Scythian standard of a golden stag. Riding alongside Idan, they led us toward the camp's center, where one extravagant white tent posted a unique flag of its own, a strange animal I didn't recognize. Idan lifted his fist in the air, halting the regiment about 100 paces from the white tent. He and Azat spoke too quietly for me to hear, but whatever was said seemed to please Azat. He rode back to his men, falling in line with the first row and faced the fine tent. Idan dismounted and offered his reins to a stable boy, tapping my camel's shoulder. Mara buckled her knees and seemed content to rest, but I politely declined when Idan offered his hand. "You go ahead. I'll wait with your men." I detected a faint smile. "Get off the camel, Tabati." I glanced over my shoulder at Azat. He lifted a brow like my Ima's silent, "Don't make me use the rod." In Azat's case, it was more likely to be his dagger. I accepted Idan's hand and stepped out of the sedan onto Ribla's grassy carpet. He laced my arm around his and leaned over slightly, keeping his voice low. "You are dressed as a Scythian goddess. Act like one." How did a Scythian goddess act? I decided to pose a safer question and pointed at the flag on the white tent. "What is that creature?" "It's the Sirush, the representation of Nebuchadnezzar's patron god, Marduk. Part lion, part dragon, part eagle and snake." "It's ugly." He coughed, masking a grin. "Spoken like a Scythian goddess, but not likely to win Nebuchadnezzar's favor." He stopped walking and held my gaze. we get one chance to convince.